5, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1, level up, 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 level up. Hello, welcome to Level Up with Danny. I'm your host, Danny Stockham. It's episode 9. So I have 3 little messages before I start my show. First of all, I want to wish a happy birthday to my friend Patty Edwards. Happy birthday, Patty. And to Gabrielle Lasker, both of which are celebrating birthdays today. And then I have a secreted message for my hairdresser, Jen. I've decided to make a new, Time Will Always Tell. That's for Jen. Time Will Always Tell. Okay, so hello, audience. I got to tell you, for this last week, I was at a terrible loss trying to figure out what I was going to talk about today. The last few weeks, I've been so excited with all of my in-studio guests, and now it's just back to me, little old me, all by myself. I'm currently writing my memoir. Well, let me rephrase that. I've been writing my memoir for decades. I actually wrote the first line of my book when I was 17 years old. I didn't know it was for my book, but I knew it was for a book. Last year, I took my first writing class. It's from the Gotham School of Writing in New York City. Very on brand for today's show. I took Memoir Writing 1. I learned a lot, and I opened myself up to the critiques of both my professor and my fellow students. Then I took a little bit of time off before I started Memoir Writing 2. And the second class was a lot more intense. It was a lot more writing, and I found myself really whittling down some of the stuff that I had collected for my memoir. The biggest problem with writing a memoir is that I wrote a blog every day, well, 5 days a week, for like 7 years. So I had a lot of work product that I needed to cram into one book. Or did I need to cram it all into the book? That's what you learn in memoir writing classes. You don't have to tell everything. You don't have to share everything. In fact, they encourage you to do more showing than telling. So that takes a lot of editing and a lot of stepping back and looking at the story through different eyes. So now I'm ready. I'm in Memoir Writing 3, which is subtitled Publish That Book. And I just submitted my first 5,000 words to the class for critique. The critiques I got that were expected, of course, were mostly, holy crap, what a life. And that's not in a holy crap, what an amazing life you had. It's more like, holy crap, what a lot of drama, trauma, terrorizing life you had. And I wasn't really surprised about that, but it did take me personally decades to tell this truth and to come to terms with what happened to me and around me. And that wasn't easy. So the title of my book is Leveled. It's no surprise that my radio show is called Level Up because my entire life has been a quest for balance. And when you grow up the way I did, with the horrors around every corner, balance is something that is very elusive. I mentioned in an earlier show that I am a Libra, and I am a Libra in every possible description you can come up with. I constantly weigh out my options, balance my highs and lows, and try to see both sides of every situation. Growing up, I actually wanted to be a lawyer. The scales of justice really rang true for me. And yet, here I am. Just little old Danny doing what I'm doing, which is, you know, raising a family and writing a book and doing a radio show and, you know, fun stuff like that. So on my show with Donna, Laugh Lines and Life Goals, I wanted to play the song by Alanis Morissette, but I found out from Donna that she doesn't like this song. But for today's show, this song is actually perfect because the lyrics are all about opposites and, you know, kind of my life story, opposites and balance. So we're going to play Hand in My Pocket by Alanis Morissette. So stand by for our first song.
happy. I'm poor, but I'm kind. I'm short, but I'm healthy, yeah. I'm high, but I'm grounded. I'm sane, but I'm overwhelmed. I'm lost, but I'm hopeful, baby. And what it all comes down to is that every man's gotta be fine, fine, fine. 'Cause I've got one hand in my pocket and the other one is giving a high five. I feel drunk, but I'm sober.
I've just always really liked that song. So, okay, next topic. We're just going to bust right on through, jump all over the place. As I mentioned on the last show, I'm kicked off of TikTok. But I've been able to see some TikTok videos from people that I followed before because I'll get an email saying so-and-so posted an update. And even though I feel like I'm cheating the system, I'm totally okay with that. My daughter, Leah, has two friends that moved to New York City. And they're starting their life there. And it made me think of when I moved to New York City. So I'm going to tell a little story about that. So I had this boyfriend in college, and he was from New York. We were together since the very beginning of freshman year, like February of 1982. And then in July of 1987, he broke up with me. Well, actually, to be honest, he cheated on me, so we broke up. So my New York City dream was theoretically squashed. Now, I had a New York City dream way before I met this guy. So I'll go back to that. In 1980, I was an exchange student to Greece. And I flew from Arizona to Texas to LaGuardia for my journey to Athens, Greece. I was 17 years old. The minute I landed in New York City, I had a visceral reaction to being there. Having been born and raised in a small town in Ohio, this was a real shock to my system. Even though I was on my way to this amazing international journey, I just knew I was going to live in this city one day. Weird, but so true. Now, back to the story. I had already shipped a bunch of my stuff to my boyfriend's sister's house out on Long Island because we were going to move to New York City together because he had just graduated from college and he was starting law school in New York. But he was a piece of crap. So I loaded up my little ruby red Fiero with all of my belongings, towing a little mini U-Haul trailer behind my sports car, and started driving from Tucson, Arizona to New York City. Now, keep in mind, this was like, we're broken up. I'm like, thanks a lot. I don't have any of my stuff because, like I said, I already started shipping stuff for my big move. And I'm not thinking straight at all. But I started driving. I had no job in New York City. I had no place to live in New York City. I'd given up everything in Tucson on the promise of a dream with a man who couldn't keep his situation loyal to me. He does not get a chapter in my book, by the way, but this story does appear in chapter 5, which is entitled The Freshman 10. Okay, by the time I got to St. Louis, my car was like, why are you towing a U-Haul? I'm a sports car. And it was not happy. So I pulled into some U-Haul place and unloaded what I could into my little sports car and piled my belongings literally to the ceiling of my car, including the front seat. And whatever I couldn't fit, I just left in the U-Haul, which turned out to be small appliances and bedding and other things that were unnecessary for where I was going and what I was going to have to do now. As I continued my drive to New York City in my car loaded to the rooftops, it was a better drive because my car was happier, but it was still, you know, I was by myself, listening to every song that was sad in my cassette player that you can imagine. Now, this was the infancy of cell phones, and I'm pretty sure I didn't have one. Most of you listeners who are under, gosh, under 35 have no idea what I'm talking about. But I would stop at and stay at hotels and make phone calls. And there was this woman that I had worked with at Canyon Ranch in Tucson, and I remembered that her daughter moved to New York City. So I got her number, and I called the daughter, and I said, you don't know me, but I worked with your mom, and I'm moving to New York City. So can I stay with you for like 2 weeks while I get settled and get a job and find an apartment? And shockingly, she said yes. So this girl lived with, I think she had two other roommates. So it's not like there was room for me, but they made room for me. They lived in this really beautiful building in Tribeca. And she just, you know, let me move in. And of course, eventually I got a job and a place to live. So as I'm hearing about Leah's friends, I'm imagining what it was like for me. But of course, they're set up way better than I was because they come from loving families and their parents went there and helped them get set up. Plus, they're together and they know each other. And it's just very exciting. I just love hearing all the details. I'm texting them and going, where are you living? What are you doing? Da 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 da. And they're probably thinking, why is this woman all up in our business? But girls, I'm doing it because I remember what it was like for me, and I'm excited for you. Now, fun fact, I've just been made aware of the fact that 1987 was 38 years ago. My information about all things New York City is not current. But you know how it is when you've lived somewhere, you just think, oh, I know this and I know that. And even though it was 40 years ago, I still act like I know what I'm talking about. I mean, I've been to New York since I moved away, but, you know, I haven't lived there in a long time. So my information about all things New York City is not current. Okay? So girls, don't trust much of what I say. Just know I'm your biggest fan. Now, here's some more full disclosure. Breaking off that relationship turned out not to be the end. After I'd lived in New York for about 6 months, we got back together. We even got engaged at the Waldorf Astoria with his parents there, where I vowed to convert to Judaism for our true love. Shortly after that, I moved into a much nicer apartment. I moved from 93rd and West End Avenue all the way down to Battery Park City in a beautiful, brand new building. He was still living on Long Island, but going to law school in New York City. So it was business as usual between the two of us for about two more years. But as with most man-childs, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So I broke up with him when I found out that he was cheating again with that same girl Lordy me, go ahead and marry her, for heaven's sakes. I don't know if he did. But just as exciting as my move to New York City, my escape from New York City was equally as exciting. I left in the middle of the night in a flannel nightgown and snow boots. It was a crazy thunderstorm. This time I was driving a Ford Escort, like a four-door sedan, and I just started driving to California. I guess I'm a runner. I run to things. I run away from things. I mean, tramps like us, maybe we were born to run. I should play that song by Bruce today. But I already chose my next song, and it is New York State of Mind. So I'm going to play that next. But if I have time at the end of the show, I'll play Born to Run, because everybody knows what a Bruce fan I am. So let's stay in the New York City mode with the song New York State of Mind by Billy Joel. Now, I made a decision after my long-term relationship with the New York boy that I wouldn't listen to a lot of Billy Joel, because he loved Billy Joel and he knew every word to every Billy Joel song. And that was a way for me to protect myself and not think about him and how he broke my heart. Ha ha. But this song is epic. It's iconic, really. And I'm pretty sure I'm over what happened with that guy now that I've been married to my guy for 32 years. And it was almost 40 years ago. I have to keep saying that because time. She's a little thief that time. So let's listen to New York State of Mind by Billy Joel. I'm going to cue it up here as soon as I get into my song list and find it. All right, stand by. Here we go.
On the Hudson River line, I'm in a New York state of mind. I've seen all the movie stars in their fancy cars and their limousines. Needed, and I don't want to waste more time. I'm in a New York state of mind. It was so easy living day by day, out of touch with the rhythm and blues. But now I need a little give and take. The New York Times, the Daily News. It comes down to reality. It's fine with me, cause I've let it slide. Don't care if it's Chinatown or around the Riverside. I don't have any reason left them all behind. I'm in a New York state. state of mind.
Notes of this song say it was written by William Martin Joel, Billy Joel, to all of us. So I just wanted to send one little quick message to Leah's two friends in New York City. Do it all. Do everything. Take the subway. Go to out to Long Island. Go to Brooklyn. Go to the Bronx. Go to Queens. Do all the things. Buy the nuts on the street. Oh, they're so good. You know, go to Central Park. Do all the touristy things, but do them knowing that you're making a commitment to live there. And New York City is one of the best places in the world to live. Okay, I'm going to skip what I was going to do next because I really want to get the radio business checked off. I'm going to read about our underwriter, KOWS thanks Mac Daddy Repairs for their support. They're a West County computer and phone repair center featuring on-site and remote support. They have recently opened Mac Daddy's Hobbit Hole and Computer Refurbishing Emporium for those interested in replacing older and broken devices. They're located at 301 North Main Street in Sebastopol and can be reached by email at support@macdaddyrepairs.com. Or you can call them at 707-861-9403. If you would like to be an underwriter for KOWS and have your business mentioned on the air, feel free to go to our website, kowsfm.com, and there's a place at the top for sponsors, and you can fill out the paperwork, and we'll read about your business. The next one is our public service announcement, and it's for the Living Room. The Living Room Life Center is located at 1335 North Dutton Avenue in Santa Rosa. Their mission is to ease adversity and promote stability, dignity, and self-reliance for women and children who are homeless or at risk of homelessness in Sonoma County. The primary emphasis is to aid with housing, food, education, and services for women and their children. For more information about the program, please call 707-579-0138 or visit them online at thelivingroomsc.org. The Living Room is a great place to donate gently used items. When my girls were in elementary school and middle school, we always did a coat drive and donated our winter coats, gently used winter coats, for the women and children who are there and probably don't have one warm coat. And we used to put like money in the pockets and stuff like that for a little added surprise. So the Living Room is a great place if you want to be philanthropic with a charitable donation. The final radio business for today is KOWS program promotion announcement. KOWS listeners, be sure to tune in to the Dig Music Experience every second and fourth Monday from 3 to 5 p.m. with your host, former record store owner, Mike Rumbanis. I did this the last time. I think I've read his show thing before, and I think I mispronounced his name that time too, and I'm sorry, Mike. It's Rumbanis. You'll hear new releases blended with a deep catalog of many genres, including alternative indie rock, R&B, blues, Americana, reggae, tasty rock and roll jams, and some interesting surprises along the way. Mike's show includes extraordinary vocalists and unique songwriters. The show is reflective, hard-hitting, dreamy, groovy, funky, psychedelic, and rockin'. There are no limits. Join Mike for the Dig Music Experience every second and fourth Monday, 3 to 5 p.m. on the radio at 92.5 FM or stream at kowsfm.com. Free speech, no bull, community radio. So, there's my radio business. I am going to do a reading today from the book, Be Here Now. I kind of chose this with Leah's two friends in mind. The reading is called Into the Wild, and it's just kind of about taking chances and, you know, what comes from that. So this is Into the Wild from the book Be Here Now. Doing things the same way every day is like opening a book and reading only one page. As we mix things up, explore, try new things, welcome adventures, open our hearts and minds to learning and discovery, we find ourselves refreshed. New inspirations become ours to savor and translate with creativity. And we are reminded to open our eyes to life, to all the compelling details of the present moment. We needn't go into the wild to break our routine. Simply taking a different route to a familiar destination, visiting a place we haven't been before, listening to new music, choosing new words, or trying a new recipe are ways to reinvigorate our senses and welcome freshness into our lives. Beyond all that is familiar, beyond our comfort zone, wait infinite experiences to grow and delight us. We can all too easily become stuck in routines and perform large parts of our days as if on automatic pilot. Living this way, it is hardly surprising that we feel the present moment unworthy of our full attention. We have done it all before. There's nothing new to see. And yet, as we choose to enter the wilderness of the unknown as often as possible, we condition our eyes to see again. And as we condition our eyes to see again, we inspire our hearts and minds anew. Helen Keller wrote that the only thing worse than being blind is to have vision and not see. In awakening to life, we must sharpen our wits with variety, deviate from our theme, and grow true willingness to explore. And I encourage everyone to do this, but young people especially. You know, leave your hometown. Leave the comforts of where you grew up and the people that you know. And go try something new. You don't have to do it forever. You don't even have to do it for a long time. Just go. Take 6 months and say, I'm going to go live somewhere new. I'm going to try something new. Just as a way to expand your horizons. And you can incorporate a new wellness journey. When you live in a new place and you don't have the same people that you see at the gym or the same people that you see on your walks or the same people that you see on your runs, you might open yourself up to trying new things with no familiar audience. I don't know, just a thought. So I want to remind everyone that you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook. If you want to follow me, just look me up under my name, Dani Jane Phillips Stockham. After my last show, I posted all the songs that I played, and I'll continue to do that because it got some good feedback. Soon y'all are going to have a Level Up playlist on your phones or on your computers, and I like to feel responsible for that. So the next song I'm going to play is the song. I heard it on the radio. I didn't totally listen to the music, to the lyrics. I was just vibing with the music. And then, as I heard it again and again, I started listening to the music. Oh my gosh, to the lyrics. I sound so confused. I didn't listen to the lyrics. I was just vibing with the music. Then I started to learn the lyrics. So now when I hear the song, it's a big deal. And you can take this from my daughter who was in the car with me the other day, probably going, why am I in a karaoke show? But I crank up the volume. I bang on my steering wheel. I pump my arm in the air. I sing along at the top of my lungs. The song is called Ends of the Earth. It's by a country singer named Ty Myers, T-Y-M-Y-E-R-S, which I also like the spelling of his name. So I'm going to play this song. It's called The Ends of the Earth by Ty Myers. Stand by.
From the silence of the speakers to the blow in your hair to the sweet smell of perfume that's hovering in the air to the faintest of moonlight peeking through the blinds to the feeling of new love that's yet to be tried but I'm getting pretty tired little games you play where we get so damn close but you up and walk away to the ends of the earth I'll follow heart chewed up, spit out, till the end of the earth.
Did you guys love it? It's a good one, isn't it? So on the last show, and maybe the show before that too, yes, two shows ago, I said that I was going to start ending every show with a song by Bailey Zimmerman. And this time I chose a song called Religiously by Bailey Zimmerman. It's a great song. It's kind of about loss and overcoming loss and how someone can support you in a way that feels almost religious. Obviously, for me, the universe was hiding my soulmate in California, and I needed to end up here in order to meet him. I lived my New York dream for 4 years, and it was epic, but it's the California dream that made the real life. I have 4 more weeks to go in my writing class. And I think I mentioned that I had to submit a 5,000 word writing sample for my class and my instructor to critique. And I did that last week. So now I'm getting all the critiques from my fellow students. And the last person to critique it is the instructor. And I got an amazing critique. And I'm going to read what she wrote, part of what she wrote, because it makes me feel really proud. And I think part of everyone's wellness journey should include accomplishments that make you feel proud. So I'm going to read what she wrote, and then I'm going to play Religiously by Bailey Zimmerman. So my instructor said, quote, Danny's story is one of the most important stories I've encountered in my Gotham teaching experience. Aww. I applaud her courage in telling it here. I support her in every way as she works her way forward towards this finished memoir and publication. Stop it. That's so sweet. I mean, that really was like, I mean, it surprised me, but I'm really proud of myself. Okay, now we're going to listen to Religiously by Bailey Zimmerman, and then I'll be back because I still have time and I have stuff to talk about.
I went looking at pictures I didn't want to see. They brought back memories. You look happy, I guess. Got the life that you wanted, but it ain't with me. You would think by now that I wouldn't care. It's been a couple years, and yeah, I've had my share of other broken parts, but I only shed real tears over ours. And now I'm in this cold, bright light, and this don't even feel like life, 'cause I don't have the only woman who believed in me religiously. And now I'm in the back of the church, praying just to stop the hurt, 'cause I don't have the only. Like I'm happier now, but all of my friends know that ain't the truth. And lately life's been good to me. Mama's healthy and I'm helping out the whole family. A lot of people know my name. I made a little change, but that don't mean nothing. 'Cause now I'm in this cold, bright light, and this don't even feel like life. Cause I don't have the only woman who believed in me. religiously. And now I'm in the back of the church, begging God just to stop the hurt, 'cause I don't have the only woman who believed in me religiously. I ain't got the only woman who was there for me religiously.
Well, now, like, that song was playing and I was reading along with the lyrics, and I'm like, maybe that wasn't the perfect song to play. I mean, I don't know. Anyways, you don't have to interpret the lyrics word for word. It's just the vibe. So, I'm in the process of curating some ideas for future shows. I really want to do a show on autoimmune diseases because, fun fact, 80% of autoimmune diseases affect women. And I know a handful of women with some crazy autoimmune diseases. So I do have a few ideas in my head about people I have in the studio as guests to discuss autoimmune diseases. I also want to do a show on death by suicide. Mental health and mental stability are vitally important topics. Depression and suicidal ideation is something that never used to be in our vernacular, but now it is. I have long said that I knew more people who died by suicide than died from cancer. Although the numbers have leveled out, I think death by suicide is still in the lead. I have a personal, I don't know, I don't want to call it affinity, but you know, an affinity for this topic. It seems like the universe draws me into these relationships where death by suicide is a factor. And I have some ideas of people that I want to talk to and bring into the studio and be on the show and talk about this subject. But if you or someone you know has an expertise in this area, feel free to reach out to me on social media so that we can discuss the possibility of having you on my show. I know it's a heavy topic, but I feel like with so much mental health crisis going on with our young people that we need to normalize talking about it. And we need to talk to people who have lost a loved one in this way and what that looks like to those that are left behind, because you're making a momentary decision that lasts forever. You're trying to stop a pain, but you're leaving a wave of treachery behind you. And I think that if we talk openly about death by suicide, that we can possibly prevent it from happening in the rate that it's happening now. So the last show with Leah, I wanted to play that Bonnie Raitt song, I Can't Make You Love Me, but we're like, oh, it's 5 minutes long. We don't have time for that because we're both chatty chatties. So I'm going to play it today. It's such a beautiful song. And my mother-in-law, who's a major music aficionado, told me that Bonnie Raitt sang this song at Bill Graham's funeral. So that's kind of a cool little, you know, tidbit. So let me find it, because it was in the playlist for last show. So I found it. Okay, I'm going to play I Can't Make You Love Me by Bonnie Raitt. Take 5 minutes and just listen to this beauty.
Thank you.
Okay, that song was written by Alan Shamblin and Michael Reed. So there's that. What I was trying to say before I got all word salady, was that the feeling around death by suicide is that you're making a permanent decision about something that is potentially a temporary problem. That's what I was trying to say. You know, what's funny is I was looking in my Level Up playlist right now, just going through the songs. I don't even have Born to Run in it. So I'm going to have to go into my swimming playlist to find Born to Run, because I think we're going to have time to play that at the end. But I just want to finish the show by saying I'm going to be back on the radio on February 20th. And until then, please keep supporting community radio. At this time in our history, when independent voices in all sorts of media are very important, community radio plays a role in that. And I'm very proud to be part of the KOWS family. We cannot let the pet projects of a few in our government destroy public and/or community radio. I'm going to personally continue to speak out against the sweeping change that is slowly happening at the highest levels of government, because it is wrong. I'm going to end the show with something I saw on my friend's Facebook page. It says, if you find yourself wholly against DEI practices, I'm insisting that you not use the initials DEI. You must say that you are against diversity, you are against equity, and you are against inclusion. Perhaps then, and only then, will you realize what you are actually against. And I think that's a nice way to end the show. This has been Level Up with Danny, and I'm your host, Danny Stockham. I thank you for listening, and I'm going to find the song, Born to Run, and I'm going to play it as we close out the show. So I'm getting my swimming playlist, because that's where I know I have it. And I think that I was born to run. But I'm not a runner anymore. I'm a stick behinder. I'm a loyal to the end. I'm a we'll work our way through it. I don't have to run anymore. I'm secure in my life. So here it is, Born to Run, by the one, the only, the boss, Bruce Springsteen. I'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening. Never gets old. It's always good. Every single time I hear that song, I've heard it in concert so many times, and it's just, oh, I just get a feeling in my gut when I hear it. Love it so much. All right, we're done for the day. Thank you guys for listening. Super appreciate it. See you in 2 weeks.